Hey, and welcome to Kiss the Crest, a weekly podcast where we talk about football news, football scores, football transfers,
football phone cases,
anything that has to do with football. I'm your host, Sean Thomas.
I'm Rob Steller.
And this is the week of September 27th.
And we want to give a Kiss the Crest welcome back to Dave.
Yeah!
Back from injury.
Recovered.
Welcome back.
Good to have you, man.
Good to be back.
So, as usual, we're going to start with scores. Now, we got a bunch of scores to go over. There were some midweek games, Champs League games, last weekends. It was ridiculous. It was absurd. So much football. So, we're going to start with that. And then we're probably only going to have time for one topic today. I think we're going to talk about Europa League and whether or not you start your full team. So we're going to start in the Champions League, UEFA Champions League, for the best teams to play. And no shade being thrown at all, I swear. No shade at all.
I stopped watching. I don't care about Champions League anymore. It doesn't exist to me.
It doesn't matter.
I haven't been in it for 3 years.
So most of the results were as we expected. There was a good game. Barca played a pretty good game versus Leverkusen. We'll talk about this a little bit later, but this is their first full game without Messi. It took them a while to break down Leverkusen, and they scored first on a decent header. But after that, they ended up... Luis Suarez had a brace, and they ended up... I believe Sergio Roberto scored the first one and then Luis Suarez. But either way, they came back to win it, which is, you know, I feel like they're going to top the group anyway, but this is really good to show that we have the grit to come back. And Bayer Leverkusen is a really good side. You have some other pretty assumed wins. PSG won, Juventus won.
Bayern smoked Zagreb.
Yeah, Munich showed what they can do. Yeah. I mean, when they're on, they're just on, and it doesn't even matter who you are. Not that Zagreb is that great, but you saw that kind of thing. United had a solid win versus Wolfsburg.
The only good showing from an English team.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. So, yeah, I mean, getting a win versus Wolfsburg, they're a good team. Yeah. So,
yeah, I was nervous, to be honest with you, going into it. Obviously, coming off that loss last Champs League round.
English teams just not doing well.
They needed to get points out of this game, and Wolfsburg scored first pretty early, so I was kind of nervous. But they played, Man U had tons of chances. They played well. They came back and they won. So,
do you know if it was at home or away? I don't remember.
Yes, this was at Old Trafford.
That's helpful.
I think everyone has 3 points in that group.
Yeah. I mean, Moscow beat PSV, which we didn't beat last time, so this should be
tied. Yeah, that makes sense.
Wolfsburg got a...
That's a pretty tight group. Yeah, I mean, it seems like you guys are positioned to do well, but it's still... I mean, that's not easy.
I mean, I think... You know, I didn't do too much research in the groups, but this group, collectively, all four teams are pretty... They're good. Like, they're not... You know, you don't have, like, other than Man U being one of the better teams, the other three are all, like, pretty good teams versus some of these other teams in these groups are brutal.
Yeah, sometimes the mistake people make is that the group of death is always the one with really hard teams, but sometimes it's the most evenly matched teams that it's the hardest one to get out of.
Yeah, I think it's still up in the air, to be honest with you, though. But it was a good win.
Who are the scorers? Do you know off the top of your head? I don't know.
Wolfsburg scored first. I believe it was that... God, was the Italian guy?
Darmian?
No. Wolfsburg. He's really good. Caligiuri? Daniel Caligiuri?
Oh, yeah. I saw that strike.
I don't even know. Wow, he's... Yeah. He had a really good goal. Nice passing. Just Valencia kept him onside and just a nice finish. And then, man, Juan Mata's tearing it up. He's been doing really well. He's been their best player so far.
I mean, he was great at Chelsea. He just got pushed out by other players. So.
And then Smalling had a nice poke in.
Yeah, the typical score. You know, yeah.
Rooney missed a wide open chance. He has had a brutal season. This season's been bad. I don't know what's wrong. I mean, he's getting up there in age, but he's just missing. Martial had an awesome cross right through, wide open. And, I mean, he could have hit it anywhere on the net. It would have went in, and he skied it way
That's
over.
That's weird. I mean, there's always that feeling like his connection with Ferguson was such a big deal, and I don't know how he gets on with... I mean, I don't know how any of the players get on with Van Gaal, but... that's definitely worrying. Yeah. But I mean, well, we'll talk about this soon, but this weekend will be a good weekend to get ready for. So
lots of big games.
But since we're talking about English teams, I specifically didn't talk about them because the English teams did really poorly.
So City came back. So City ended up getting a win late on.
But still, there's that feeling
and
of...
Arsenal lost Olympiacos, which I think you pointed out, Alexander, our guest from the last week, I think he called that.
He did. He was saying that Olympiacos was looking really good. I don't think that many people would have called that. And it goes back to this kind of Arsenal arrogance where you feel like we're Arsenal, we're good enough to win, which they should be. I mean, you think about it, how many of those players on Olympiacos could get into Arsenal's squad? Mm-hmm. Probably none, but mm-hmm. they don't play well, and then they give in some goals. I mean, I don't know. It's inexplicable to me that Petr Cech wasn't starting. I mean, Ospina made mistakes, and those things Cech wouldn't have made. I still don't know why Ospina was chosen. Like, I get putting him in cup games, but this is the Champions League. This isn't like a little kids club. So I'm not a fan of Wenger's decisions. I don't think that makes sense. And
then you also had Porto beating Chelsea 2-1.
Yeah, it was a big game. It was at Porto. So, I mean, you know,
Porto's
always been a pretty good team.
Yeah. And I don't
Chelsea's
mean
Chelsea's not playing
them.
Well at all right now. So, I mean, it's surprising, but really at this point,
yeah,
really
I guess
surprising that
in my head, I guess I'm just riding on the fact that last year how good they were. It's honestly absurd. I mean, don't get me wrong, Porto is a solid side. They're always among the best in Portugal. And what always happens that they are such a feeder team, all the best players somehow end up coming from, you know, Porto, Benfica, a couple of those. But still, come on, Chelsea could.
Our topic later on, Hazard and Matic subbed on, so they didn't even start.
And this goes back into like Mourinho. I don't know what's going through his head. Clearly something's going on in his head though. He's not as confident as he usually is. Maybe we'll talk about this a little bit later, but there's something going on. And I'm pretty sure he called out all his players during this game, saying that they didn't show up, and it's just getting worse and worse. I almost feel bad for Chelsea fans. Almost.
So but there were some other upsets though. So Bate Borisov beat Roma 3-2. Yeah.
Bate Borisov didn't, and they came out like, I'm pretty sure it was 2-0 or something early on. It wasn't like last minute freak goals or something.
Mm-hmm. And then also Benfica got the result over Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, with Atleti hasn't been doing as well as they have in the past, but they have really strong sides. So I think even regardless of the setback, I think they're going to go decently far. People underestimate how good their squad is. There's a lot of players that they were able to keep, most importantly Griezmann, but we'll see. I think they have more time, and they're gonna get better.
And then City, it took a 90 plus minute penalty from Aguero to get the result.
Yeah,
like
Hart saved them. I saw some of the highlights of that. Hart's had a couple of really big saves. Mm-hmm. They could have lost that game easily. But that was huge. That group looks pretty scary too right now. I mean, Juventus, Sevilla, Man City, and then Mönchengladbach.
Nice.
Who's decent?
That's got to be the hardest group.
That's a decent group there.
I mean, still though, you feel like City with the power they have, they should be like. Yeah. It's difficult, but this is the kind of teams they should be able to beat. I mean, if they get to the knockouts, whatever, that's all you need. Nobody cares if you're second place. If you make it through and then you keep going, that's all that matters. But, I mean, do you think they just can't adapt to Champions League because it's just a different kind of play? Which is hilarious because I feel like that's usually the reason why people say that English teams are better. But, I mean...
You would think... I mean, I know they've had injuries recently, but you would think that they have enough depth
without
to compete with some of these other
and
teams.
And Mönchengladbach isn't that great of a side right now. They're okay, but they're not Leverkusen. They're not Dortmund. You know, they're not Wolfsburg. So this is... I don't know. As a City fan, I'd be a little worried because, I mean, they don't have that many games left. And even if they pass through, I mean, who are they going to get? If they're second place, who are they going to beat in Champions League? And they're... kind of the standard bearer for Champs League. Well, maybe a little bit's changing right now, but you feel like they're the standard bearer. So so just a quick think for English teams, who do you think is going to make it through?
I think United will get through.
I think United will make it
through. I mean, I honestly could see them getting in second, but I definitely think they'll get through. Yeah. So they're in. City, I think, will squeak out.
I don't know. Get in I don't know. Two. I don't know if
this win was huge. If they didn't win this, then they'd be, you know, a little bit more difficult, but Arsenal's in deep trouble. Arsenal still has to play Bayern And they've already, they haven't
done. You got to get the wins you can get, and they did not.
So they're, I think, going to be out. Chelsea's not looking good right now, but who knows?
But they do have a win, so they can get through. I'd agree with that. I think probably City, United, and Chelsea will get through. I mean, I don't know even why I'm picking Chelsea, because at this point, it's like they lose so much. It's hilarious. I think in the other groups, I think Juventus is looking pretty good.
Yeah, Madrid, obviously. Madrid and PSG, you know, should hands down get out of that group.
Yeah. Our group is a little tighter than expected because Bate winning, but I think we'll still go through. I don't actually know who will be second. I don't know who's going to go through after us.
I think
Bayer Leverkusen. I don't think Roma's going to come back from that.
That's not easy to come back from.
And then, I mean, you said Bayern. That'll be interesting to see who that second team. Olympiacos, I think, you know, they played well. I think that'll they might cool. get that second spot.
I mean, other, quote-unquote, other teams always get in, even in tough groups. So I think they could be that team that makes it through.
So get the Man U quick. The Man U group, everybody's tied, and they all have even goal differential.
So it's going to be ridiculous. Exactly, I think Man U is looking better, so I think that helps out a lot. But yeah, that's going to be a tight group. I mean, who's going to take second if United takes first?
That's right. I mean, I think any of the three.
Okay, well, we'll be looking forward to that. We also want to go a little bit into Europa. We're not going to talk about too much. Liverpool drew Sion. Gosh, I am glad Alex isn't on the show this week, because if you're a Liverpool fan, like this, I feel bad at this point. It's I don't even want to talk poorly of them. But, you know, they didn't have their strongest squad out, and we'll talk about this later. I mean, good, bad. I mean, on one end, it's an embarrassment to lose in Europa League, but on the other end, I guess it's not that important. You know, even if they won Europa, I don't know if anyone would care that much. But
Dortmund actually drew to PAOK.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
They've had a string of draws. So it's a little disappointing to see them slip up, but it's got to happen sometime.
Yeah, and then
the Tottenham Monaco game today was pretty good.
Another draw. Yep.
Marseille lost to Liberec. I don't even know where that team is from.
So we're seeing some interesting results. I have no idea who's favorites for Europa League at this point. Like, I don't know if
it's way too early.
But I don't even know what teams are, you know, really good. I mean, I guess you'd say the Tottenham, Villarreal. You would think Liverpool, but honestly, I'm not putting any money on them. Maybe one or two others. Monaco's decent, but we'll have to see. We'll see how it shapes up. So that covers Europe. So
where are we going next?
Now we're going to... Well, okay, that covers inter-European play.
Yeah.
So now we're going to go to the actual leagues. So I guess we'll start in Italy.
All right, let's do Italy. So I think since there's been two games since we last talked, so I'm just going to... Yeah, there was a midweek game last week and then obviously the weekend game. So I'm going to update you guys on the table here and then we'll talk about a few of the scores that we'll pull out. So Fiorentina and Inter are now top of the table. Fiorentina got a big, big result over Inter at the weekend. Ended up winning 4-1, I think it was, right?
Yep.
So, and I don't know if you guys saw this game, but Fiorentina came out guns blazing. Like I
didn't see
Inter. Inter was on fire. They hadn't lost yet in the league, and they, you know, Inter's looked really solid so far, and Fiorentina had no fear. They just came out like going for it. They won a PK, I think, in the third minute. Ended up converting that, going up early. And then Handanovic had this weird... It was a long-range effort, and Handanovic for Inter just palmed up the ball. And then it came down behind him, like, on the line. And one of the Fiorentina guys just, like, ran and poked it in. I was like, how did he not see him coming? That's ridiculous. Anyway, so Fiorentina ended up going up 3 goals before the half-hour mark. And then Inter's defense just fell apart. Like, they just did not show up. They got a red card in the 30th minute. And it was a huge, huge result for Fiorentina.
Yeah, that's big.
So I was curious when the last time... So Fiorentina is now on top of the table, tied with Inter on points, but their goal differential is 7 versus Inter's 2. So they have 15 points apiece. Torino is in third now with 13. Sassuolo in fourth with 12. Then you have Lazio and Roma, Chievo, Verona, and some of the other ones. Napoli and Milan still struggling mid-table. Udinese still near the bottom. Genoa, even though they beat Milan over the weekend... still only have two wins of the season. Juventus obviously is the big team to talk about right now. They are in 15th place. They have 5 points, which puts them 2 points out of the drop zone. They only have one win for the season so far.
I mean, yeah,
it's not even that they played the hard teams, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
they
drew to Frosinone, which is one of the teams that got promoted over last year or this season.
It's so weird, and I know it's still early, but looking at these tables, honestly, the only two that feel quote unquote normal is Germany. The French league and German league. Yeah. And it's crazy. It's kind of cool seeing this. I think it'll still shake out differently, and we'll talk about that. But that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, so Napoli got a result over Juve in the midweek last week.
But Juventus is doing fine in Champs League. They beat City. They won this weekend versus Seville. Like, it's, I don't know what's happening, but they cannot seem to string together a couple of wins in this.
Yeah, Roma slipped up this weekend against Sampdoria, so they lost 2-1. And so anyway, so going back to this, I was curious the last time Fiorentina has won the title.
Yeah.
Do you have a guess?
1996.
68-69 season.
68.
That's how long it's been. And I think it's been, I don't know, 15 years. Sorry, I guess Roma counts too. But, you know, it's really been, Italy's been dominated by Milan, Inter, and Juventus for the most part for the last 15, 20 years, you know, with a handful of wins from Roma. And I think there was one from Lazio, like going back 20 years now. And so this for me, this is exciting because, you know, the story for the last four years now has just been Juve. Like, they're gone by midseason.
I was going to say that. It's like, when's the last time Juventus hasn't won? It's been, four straight titles?
Yeah. And so just to see, you know, obviously it's only six games in, still early, but just to see all of these teams who are up there, who aren't normally up there, and just different teams competing. Yeah. And even then, you know, Inter looked like they were going to be the team to beat this year, and Fiorentina came out and destroyed them.
It's crazy. I mean, yeah, it's cool to see that kind of competition.
Yeah, so you know, unfortunately for me, Milan is not competing. They lost to Genoa, and the story's just been...
Still time.
The story's just been defense. You know, we finally start looking creative up top, and our defense just, you know, again, just looked really, really poor. We got destroyed in the opening 15 minutes, gave up that early goal, and despite having a few good chances that we haven't been able to put away. Also, Mihailovic has just made really strange decisions. I think, you know, he's not playing De Jong some games, playing Montolivo some games, to try to be more aggressive. But then, you know, De Jong basically saved our team from being even worse last year. So anyway,
I mean, so far, would you give him a positive grade, neutral, negative?
Mihailovic?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I think six games in, Inzaghi actually had more points. I think we had like one or two more points than we do right now. So
I think
I think we're playing a lot more positively. We're playing more attacking. We're looking more creative. Like last year, we just weren't creating chances. You know, we just looked flat the entire game. And this year, the story is, okay, we got chances. Balotelli, I know, you know, I'm not supposed to talk about him, but he's actually been one of the sparks of the creativity in our game, which is good
crazy
to see,
yeah,
finally for him. Hopefully he can keep that up and, you know, stay out of trouble. And now it's just defense. Like, we just have to make it solid in the back, you know, have to stop making just stupid. I think we've already had two or three red cards this season in the first six games, which is unacceptable.
Jeez.
So anyway, that's enough about Italy. Let's move on.
Okay, so we're going to move on to Germany. Same thing goes. There were a bunch of games, so we're just going to highlight the big ones and talk about how the table is shaping up. So Munich is still very much on top. Unfortunately, Dortmund slipped up a couple times with some draws, so they are now in second place, clearly. They just let in a few too many goals, and they didn't score as many as they were. But it's still definitely a race. It's not over yet. Probably the biggest result was Bayern Munich playing Wolfsburg. It was basically 0-0 for a while. Wolfsburg ended up scoring first, and they were having a good game. And then somebody came off the bench. I don't know. Who was it? Some guy, Robert something?
Yeah. Robert Stiller.
Lewandowski came off the bench, and he scored 5 goals, I believe, in nine minutes. The fastest hat trick in Bundesliga history, and... I don't know if fastest to 5 goals, but it was absurd. It was just a blitz. And if you see these goals, they weren't just all tap-ins or something. Like, there were some really good goals. And the announcers were going insane. Like, no, we can't do it again. Oh, he scores another. Like, if you turn away, there's another goal.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Wolfsburg to a degree because it's like they were doing really well.
Yeah, it was unfair. It was an unfair result, to be honest.
But, man, those goals. I don't know which one was my favorite. Maybe that last one. Me and Dave were talking about this, that side foot. But, man, there were some other ones where he was just, I mean, perfect passing, and then he just... There was one where he shot it off. I believe he shot it off the defender, then the keeper, and then he shot it in. Like, the fact that you have enough composure and control to keep doing it. I mean, Lewandowski is a superb player. And I love, he came off the bench. He wasn't even starting.
Yeah, still got 5 goals.
I think my favorite part of the whole thing is Pep's face. Yeah. There's a gift that I sent. He was
so surprised.
He just put his hands on his face.
He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it.
He was genuinely happy. But keep in mind, Wolfsburg was number 3 at the time. And they're a good side. Yeah, they lost De Bruyne, but they still have Bas Dost, Draxler. Like, they have a bunch of really good guys. So, seeing them get demolished. I mean, but... Always the question with Munich is, I mean, I feel like they can win the Bundesliga. I feel like it'll happen. They have the depth. But a number of years in a row, they've had this superb squad, and then they just get destroyed later on. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, we were obviously a good side last year. Madrid was a good side. I mean, they lost to the teams that won Champs League.
Yeah.
But they got destroyed in these games. Like, it wasn't even close. And considering the quality of their team, it doesn't make any sense that they've been losing this poorly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe they'll play with a vengeance this year.
Yeah, I think the big test is going to be this weekend. Bayern Munich plays Borussia Dortmund.
It's going to be huge.
Both teams don't have a loss yet. Dortmund has had a couple draws, so that's why there's the 4-point difference. But
if you're
looking at the stats, I mean, Bayern Munich has scored 23, given up 3, and Dortmund has scored 21, given up 6. So, I mean, those, you know, they're high-scoring teams. I mean, the next highest-scoring team has 10.
I can't wait for this because this is going to be a real test. We're going to see, is Dortmund back?
Yeah.
Last year they were not that good for whatever reason, but I mean, this is going to see, is Munich, how good are they? And I seriously cannot wait to see.
Oh, it's
going to
be amazing. Yeah, Sunday. We're talking about this.
Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday is like
crazy.
We're gonna go over
a dozen
this is,
good
Sunday.
Games, yeah.
It's a little ridiculous at this point. We can't. I don't have enough eyeballs.
Just clear your calendar.
Yeah.
Get out all the screens.
So that is it basically for the Bundesliga.
Keep it going.
Moving over to Spain. So, same thing. We're just going to go over to the table. I would say the biggest result I would argue is, Barcelona lost to Celta de Vigo 4-1.
Yeah.
And during the game,
Celta Vigo does not have a loss yet.
Yeah. They've been doing really well. This is also a couple of funny storylines. Lucho Enrique, our coach, he coached there before he went to Roma. So it went Celta de Vigo, Roma, and then Barca. And so it's his former club. They looked really good. We didn't look that great. We looked a lot better in the second half, but they looked better. And I think the bigger thing was Messi got injured.
Bad.
He is going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is we don't know if he's going to be back for the Clásico. Some people say 6 weeks, so he'll be back for international break, and Clásico's right after that.
Yeah. Didn't this happen another time where he was injured for like just the perfect amount of
time to come back
for the Clásico?
Him and Ronaldo have a superb injury record. Yeah. It's kind of absurd. Like, that's the point where you start wondering if they're not actual humans. I think this is his longest injury. I can't remember the last time he was injured this long.
This will be a big test for Barcelona.
Well, it's so funny we say this, but we still have Neymar and Suarez.
Yeah, you
It shouldn't
you
be.
You absolutely
we don't have Rafinha, who we put him in the forward slot a couple times, and we don't have Pedro. So we're relying on people like Munir, Sandro, some of our young kids.
Clearly, you guys have depth.
We should be able to, at least in that area, we should be fine. But honestly, Messi, you cannot understate his importance on the game. Not even necessarily leadership, just the way he distributes the ball and him just scoring. It's going to be huge. But I think the biggest game by far is whether or not he's going to be back for the Clásico. But luckily for us, Madrid also slipped up. They drew, so to Malaga. Malaga just had their stout defense. A big storyline, not a storyline. Ronaldo didn't score. He had so many chances, and some of them were very good chances. Who knows why he didn't score? He scored 5 goals so far this season, which sounds good, except for the fact that they were all scored in one game. This is a lie. He scored in Champs League. So
he had two or three.
He had two goals.
Yeah.
So over the weekend, there was a bit of a scare. I mean, it's Ronaldo. He's going to score a bucket load. So it's just we don't know why he's not scoring.
More points for Ronaldo, Sean. You're losing your argument here.
He's injured. Oh, God. But anyway.
So luckily, you know, you don't have the hardest schedule coming up. I mean, you have Sevilla next weekend. Then you have Rayo, Bate, Ibar, Getafe, Bate again. And then you have Villarreal, Madrid, and Roma. All back to back to back.
So that'll be a tough stretch.
So that's when you definitely are hoping that he comes back.
Yeah, and but like I said, there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to win without Neymar and Suarez. Yeah. Like it's
you guys clearly you have a lot of depth. But it doesn't mean a lot of depth. But he's a leader.
We played Las Palmas. Oh, I lied. Sorry. He didn't get injured in the Celta Vigo game, I don't think. I'm pretty sure he got injured in the Las Palmas game.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
So that was a game where he was out in the 10th minute. But my point is, you know, it took us coming back late on with Suarez to get it. Like, we should be able to beat Las Palmas as a promoted side. But anyway, enough about Barca. It's a good point that you named a couple of teams because you know who's number one in the league right now? Villarreal.
Yep.
It's not Madrid, not Atleti, not Barca. It's Villarreal. And
it's good to see. I mean, it's like Italy, you know?
And good to see other teams. I believe third place. So I think we're in second.
Yes. So Villarreal has 16, Barcelona 15, Madrid 14, and Celta Vigo 14.
Yeah. So Celta Vigo is still doing very well.
Atleti has 12.
Yeah. They aren't doing as well as they could be. But
one of the losses to you, wasn't it?
Yeah. One of the losses. And this weekend they're going to be playing Real Madrid, which is going to be a really interesting match. This is another really fun match to watch.
Another big game.
Yeah, it's going to be huge.
You guys got to come up on Sunday.
I know. So this is going
to
be.
I need more screens in my house to watch all of these games.
Yeah. So that's basically La Liga. We're going to see some more stuff happening this weekend, but that's it for that. So now let's move over to France.
Yeah, so France, I mean, PSG is still dominating that.
Didn't expect that at all.
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, I think it's almost becoming worse than the German league has been in the past few years.
Yeah.
Maybe not worse, but, you know,
it's pretty one-sided, yeah.
I mean, Monaco, even this year, usually is up there in the top, you know, three, four teams. They're
sitting
like
in ninth right now.
Bottom
of the first half.
Marseille is nowhere near them. Lille is nowhere near them.
Marseille is in 15th. You know, Lille is in 16th.
Pretty good, but I mean, PSG is up 4 on them.
Yeah, PSG still hasn't lost yet.
I mean, it's just like I said, it's almost worse than the German league. So
it's Champs League.
PSG is just going to dominate that league.
Yeah, when is PSG going to perform in Champs League? Is
the question. See it. And
this year, if they have a big enough lead, maybe they can rest some guys. And
I have a feeling this is going to be Ivra's last year at PSG.
Yeah,
I think he's going to.
I don't know who they're going to replace. I mean, because they have money.
They clearly have money. Yeah,
so they have. They'll have, and they'll still get a lot of money for him. Regardless of whether he comes to MLS or wherever. But I hope. I wish.
So the question is, I mean, people go back and forth on this argument. Some people say having a strong league helps you because you're ready to play. You're playing harder teams, so you're used to playing harder teams. Some people say it's detrimental because it works your teams harder.
Yeah.
And some people say having an easy league allows you to rest your players, so you rest it up. So, like, how do you think this is going to affect PSG and Champs League?
I don't know. I mean, we talked about this before, is that they never seem to perform in Champs League.
I mean, last year they beat Chelsea. That was a pretty solid win. And no offense, like, we ended up winning Champs League, so losing out to us isn't the worst thing in the world. Chelsea was an early-on favorite, and I will say this, winning, spending 90 minutes down a man and still winning, and you lost Ibra. Like, it isn't some random schmo.
No, that's true.
That's a pretty solid win.
I think they'll be quarters, you know, somewhere pretty far up there.
I think the problem for them and pretty much everybody is there's a level at which, like, Madrid, Munich, and Barca are a little bit above. So it's like, even if you get pretty far, it's going to be really tough.
To your point, does that go back to having a competitive league?
I mean,
you can really look at it either. You know,
I think it comes
ways.
Down to money. All three of us have a lot of money. We bought Suarez.
No, I'm
and
saying
Neymar.
It's the reason why the Spanish team's a little slightly higher than PSG. Is that because you play in a more competitive league?
I think that's part of it, but I think at that echelon, to me, it still comes down to money. I mean, Madrid can buy whoever the heck they want. We bought a lot of big players. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are other elements. Big one being Ronaldo and Messi, like, that helps a bit. But you look at the teams, I mean, you look at Munich, they can buy whoever they want from Dortmund. I mean, that's what it's been consistently. So I mean, but PSG has the money. I guess they still don't have the reputation, and maybe that goes into what you're talking about with the league.
I just don't think
I would rather play in La Liga or the Bundesliga than the French league.
I just don't think they have the experience. I mean, I don't know. Granted, they lost to you, you know, in the quarters, but I don't know that they've gotten past the quarters before. And forgive me if I'm forgetting.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever made.
I don't know
semis.
That they've made it past that.
Well,
at least not with the team that they have now, right?
Yeah, yeah. 1926. You don't remember that one? Yeah, they got really far. So anyway, that's the French league. Let's go on to
The last 3 years they've been knocked out of quarters, and it was to you twice. So I guess that's, you know, me being a little bit harsh on them. But anyway.
So let's move on to the smallest league in the world, the English Premier League. I don't think anybody watches that.
No,
so
I forget that one.
Nobody watches that. So I don't know. You know where I want to start? I want to start with the league table.
Oh,
Leicester
yes.
City. No. So
Bournemouth.
Don't start.
So
he knows how to say
first
it.
First place. Who is in first place right now? Manchester City. United.
I guess we were wrong about City. Yeah.
No. I mean, Man U's, they've gotten better. They still haven't been, you know, their wins haven't really been convincing. This past weekend, they played much better. Champs League, they played pretty well. But, I mean, before this, we weren't really talking about them at all. They were just like, they're hanging around. They're working
but they're
on
winning.
Chemistry. They're, you know.
But, I mean, yeah. I mean, today's point, besides this 3-0 win to Sunderland, I mean, you had 3-2 to Southampton. Yeah. You had 3-1 against Liverpool was a good game. Lost to Swansea 2-1. Drew to Newcastle 0-0. Beat Aston Villa 1-0. Beat Tottenham 1-0. So, yeah.
The big tests are still coming up.
Yeah, yes. I mean, this weekend, obviously. And
against Arsenal.
They do have a few bigger games coming up. I think they play City coming up.
Arsenal, soon. Everton. City's 5 games away, but in October.
Arsenal
in October,
and some of the other teams coming up.
But come on, did anyone, like, let's be honest, at any point in the year, did people say over summer,
they were
going to
be title
will be? Yeah.
I mean, it's still early. You
it's
know?
Still, yeah, I'm not crowning them, you know, champions.
I mean, it's still early. I think, you know, one game and City's up 2 points.
Yeah, but to Sean's point, like, I, at the beginning of this, before the season started, I didn't expect them to be challenging for the title by mid-season or whatever.
I still think they're going to be, like, 3. You know, maybe if they don't play that well, 4. But
West Ham's going to take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, West Ham's in third.
Yeah, they're doing well.
Well, so looking at that side of Manchester, there's another part of Manchester that's not doing as hot.
Well,
you know,
in the last couple of weeks.
Well, yeah, this is the crazy thing. So let's just get into it. So Manchester City has, I believe, lost 3 in a row. And these were not, I mean, you could argue that West Ham is better than we're giving credit for, but these are not the top teams. This wasn't Arsenal, Chelsea.
They lost 2 in a row.
Because
they beat
also.
Sunderland. They beat Sunderland. So they lost.
That was capital.
They lost in champs. True, but that counts. No.
No.
So they lost to Glatchenbach, right?
Mönchengladbach.
Gladbach. Thank you.
Yeah. I guess. Sorry. I'm talking about the league specifically.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. So they got killed by Tottenham 4-1 this weekend, right? They lost to West Ham 2-1. Although to be fair, West Ham is
better than
right
we're
now.
Giving credit for.
And then they beat Crystal Palace before that, but they lost to Juventus in the Champs League, and they lost to Sunderland. You're not counting other competitions.
So they lost to Tottenham obviously this past weekend 4-1.
Yeah,
I mean, you all saw the game. Almost all the goals were BS, the offsides calls.
They were, I mean scoring 4. I mean, yes,
there
were definitely
there were
some
like
really
legit,
bad
like
calls.
3
there were
goals.
Two,
yeah.
There were
even
two, count. At least two that
two,
were
that
and especially the catalyst. I think was the second goal. Where it was like five yards off. I mean, clearly.
I don't
offsides.
Know how these refs got that so wrong. And I agree, it changed mentality. I mean, De Bruyne scored first. So getting that 1-0, if you stay most of the game at like 1-1 or 2-1, that makes a big difference. But still, I mean, at the end of the day, whatever. I mean, yeah, it was illegal, but it was 4-1, and I didn't see that much in City. I mean, they have their full squad. They have De Bruyne. They have Aguero. They have Torre. You know, I mean, I think Silva was out. There were a couple people out.
What I was going to say next is they're. Yeah. I mean, they're missing Rob. Another Rob we play soccer with is a Tottenham fan, and he like posted this big post afterwards. Oh, Spurs! Well, I was like, dude, they're missing Silva. They're missing Joe Hart, and they're missing
Joe Hart,
and they're missing a few other defenders.
Yeah, they've been.
I mean,
so they were missing a few people.
So
now
the past few games,
it,
I mean, Silva's been out, Company's been out, Hart hasn't played.
But
you know,
this is
a lot.
Where you show your depth. I mean, Tottenham is a stronger team than we think, but Tottenham's not that great this year, and they showed. I mean, City still seem like the favorites, but it's just weird. Yeah. They've had multiple losses. The Crystal Palace game, it was down to a 19-year-old kid to win the game. I mean, sure, injuries, but these are the things where you need to show your grit and stuff like that. And United and City,
true grit, Sean. True grit.
So City hasn't looked as good, but we'll see. I mean, I think they're still favorites.
Yeah,
I mean,
every team's going to have their
own. I will say Harry Kane getting the goal was big for him, too.
Yeah, yeah. Harry Kane has played well.
Starting to find form again.
So it's good to see that. And, I mean, moving on, I guess since we're talking about Tottenham had a solid win versus City. We'll move to the other London club, Arsenal. So Arsenal played this weekend. What did you think?
Well, you know, it's funny because it's Leicester, right? And, you know, before the season start, you'd be like, okay, the 5-2 result is what should have, what should be, right?
Yeah, of course.
But going into this, obviously Leicester having an incredible start to the season, you're like, oh, well, maybe Leicester will pull this off. And Arsenal not having the best start to the season, you're like, oh, Leicester might pull this off. But Arsenal's back. I don't know. Are they back?
I don't know. Arsenal is that team. No one ever knows.
It was lost today or yesterday.
True.
Yeah.
So they're not back.
No. But you know, going back to the weekend, though, like that was a huge result for them. They needed that.
Yeah.
That big five goals.
But what Arsenal is that team? I mean, because I didn't grow up around the Invincibles, they are the team that always does well-ish. They get in first at some point, then they come back down every single year.
Yep.
You always ask yourself, wait. Maybe they're title favorites because you don't want to, but you don't want to bet on them. No one will ever bet on them because they always somehow slip up. And I apologize to all Gunner fans. I'm not trying to be a jerk. It's just, I feel like if you're a Gunner fan, you probably know it more than I do. It's like, you always feel like they're almost there. They have a decent squad. This is a good time to strike with other teams doing poorly, but it just, I never know if they're really going to make it. I would never put money on them. I'll be honest.
Yeah. The other big, not upset, I guess, because the way Chelsea's been playing, but Newcastle drew Chelsea 2-2, and then they lost to Porto in midweek.
And Chelsea was down 2-0, and they had to come back. They had to crawl their way back. Right. This is insane.
You know, so Chelsea had the win against Arsenal 2-0, where they looked okay, I guess. I mean, they looked better than they have been.
Yeah.
But I mean, you look at their scores besides that, you know, outside of the 4-1 win against Walsall in the Cup, you know, they lost to Porto, drew Newcastle. They beat Arsenal and then they beat Tel Aviv, but then they, you know, in the Premier League, they lost to Everton, they lost to Crystal Palace, barely won against West Brom, lost to City. So
there was a point at which we all said, "This is just a hiccup."
It's the Mourinho curse. That's what it is.
But Mourinho's teams have never been this bad. I don't think
it doesn't matter.
They
Sean.
Don't even look
it's year
good.
Three.
They look. And you can tell this is getting to Mourinho. The way he's talking, it's not the same as before.
He's not making his little witty remarks
anymore. Yeah, and he's calling out his team more. His team selection has been very, very weird, leaving out people like Terry. I mean, Terry's been up and down, but not bringing bringing, who else did they? I think Hazard came off the bench. And some of these things are rightfully so, like they haven't been playing well, but man, this Chelsea team. Insane.
It's god awful.
This is just
so they're sitting in 14th right now.
How high do you think they can go? I mean, I think we all agree they're not title contenders. How high do you think they can go?
You go first, Rob.
I mean, they're only 4 points out of the fifth place for that cup spot. So
you're only 4 points out of fifth.
So fifth place is
they're done.
No, I mean it's been 7 games, but fifth place Everton has 12 points, and then Stoke City in 17th has 6. So there's 6 points. Oh, sorry, 4. 6 points. I said that right. 6 points separating, you know, more than half the table. So, you know, if all Chelsea has to do is go on a string of 5 wins in a row, and they're going to be back up in, you know, 7th, 6th place. But, you know, the way
it's
that they
still,
play.
Yeah, what you expect from them, considering they had multiple players of the year. If you talk about Costa, Hazard, Fabregas, Modric, Ivanovic, Courtois, they basically had some of almost every position. They had one of the best players in the team, in the Premier League, if not the world.
I mean, clearly they're not going to be contending for the title this
year. I think they still can.
For the title?
I think there's a part of everybody that feels like there's no reason why they shouldn't be.
It's
but at this
early.
Point,
if they obviously keep playing like that, they won't. But it's Chelsea. I know we've been saying this for the past few weeks, But come on, it's Chelsea.
If their Chelsea wins the title, I will never watch Premier League again because that will mean everyone else messes up so badly.
But if you look at like the end of the year standings, like last year, the first place team I think had at least 4 or 5 losses, if not more.
Sure.
Chelsea has like three losses.
So
right now.
Chelsea has 3 losses all season last year.
And this year they're already at that loss. And it's just, they don't look any better than they did before. It wasn't close losses. I mean, they had to come back from 2-0 to Newcastle, who's not doing well.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that, it's a sure thing. Yeah. I definitely think
they're not going to be contending. I think they'll end up contending for that cup spot. So I think they'll be in 5th. Maybe for that 4th place, but I think that they'll probably get Europa League.
Well, I still think they'll be top 4.
We'll see.
Okay.
For sure.
Write it down. Sure. Coming back to this.
Yeah, write it down,
back
baby.
To us in May.
The only one doing worse than Chelsea, mentally at least, Liverpool. They cannot. Yeah. They can't do anything. I mean, Chelsea, at least they can argue, well, we have the best player, so we can just do... We can play at some point. Liverpool, it's just not going well at all. This is getting I think it was 1-1 versus Norwich. I mean, it's...
Yeah. So they beat Aston Villa last weekend.
Sturridge had to like come through.
It took him to penalties to beat Carlisle in the cup, but I know that Sean doesn't count that. But, but look at their other results. They drew 1-1 to Sion today. They drew 1-1 to Bordeaux in Europa League last round. They lost to United and lost to West Ham. Drew to Liverpool. They beat Bournemouth though. My team, Bournemouth. So.
The question is, how early is Rodgers going to get fired? It's really tough to fire people mid-season, but at this it's so bad.
Yeah, it's definitely coming. I mean, if they just stay in the middle of the table like this and they just keep winning, drawing, losing, drawing, losing, like, winning, I mean, I just think he'll be gone by mid-season, I think, for sure.
I don't want to start this as a topic because it's honestly mean, but... Imagine predicting how many years ago that Liverpool wouldn't come to a title, and the closest they would get is the 1 year they had Suarez, and Suarez made their team.
Yeah,
like it's absolutely insane that a club of this stature, and Rodgers has spent money. It's not like he was a cheapskate. I mean, Arsene Wenger has been 1,000 times better in that time, and they have spent, I believe, $300 million. They've bought players. They bought Southampton last year. They bought a bunch of people in the offseason this year, and it's just like. Sturridge just hasn't been totally back. I feel like he was the key and it didn't work out. And
I think it's going to come down. I could see Rodgers getting fired in 5 weeks if they don't progress higher than 9th.
I mean, they've got some tough teams.
It's going to come down to what coach can they get to
replace. Yeah, yeah. And there are coaches available, but I don't know how many come mid-season.
Yeah, and I don't see Ancelotti coming to Liverpool.
Klopp is the only obvious one.
That would be good. I'm a Man U fan, but that would be good for them.
But I don't know why. I can't see Klopp coming mid-season. I don't know. I honestly don't know what he's thinking. I honestly think the reason why he took the year off, just like Pep did, I feel like it's more you want to assess what clubs will give you the money or the team or whatever wasn't there. I don't think... Pep, maybe you could say it a lot of stress because Barcelona is a very stressful place. But Dortmund, they loved Klopp. He had a terrible year, and they still loved him. Yeah. So we'll see. Although we loved Pep, so that's kind of a lie. Well, we'll see. But right now it's a tale of the Manchester clubs doing pretty well, the unusual Manchester club doing well, and Tottenham, who knows, Everton doing decently, and the little clubs, West Ham.
Yeah.
I mean, they're staying up there, so... This will be an interesting Premier League, I guess, to see what happens. But that'll do it for the first half. We'll catch you after the break.
It's crazy.
Kiss the Crest is part of the Commentist Network, which is a collection of great podcasts covering a wide range of topics, from tech news to music to Dungeons and Dragons to veganism and positive living. For more information about Kiss the Crest or to check out our other great shows, go to thecommentist.com.
Okay, welcome back to the second half. So we're going to get into our only topic of the day. We're going to be talking about Europa League. And the question is, do you start your first team or do you just kind of start a couple players that start, and like how seriously do you
so we're talking about big teams, like Liverpool.
We're not
Chelsea,
talking about Zion and you know.
No, you play your backups.
Yeah, we're only playing Liverpool.
Yeah, so I don't know. I go back and forth. So I don't know. We're not in Europe, Milan. So I don't care. No,
but
so
if you were,
if Milan was in Europa League, I would say we should be playing our starting lineup, only because we've been so far from Champs League recently. It's not about like, and not to say that, obviously it is, okay, do you want to bench your starting guy so you do better in the league, theoretically, or do you want to risk injury and get them getting tired, and do you want to push to try to get some silverware?
And the question is, you know, your point about silverware, do you think that because of the position you're in now, like what if this was 07? You know, you still got all these players. Would you then change completely?
We were in Europa League back, I forget what year it was. I think it was...
1980.
No. It was recent. It was like 2011, I think it was. There was one weird year. I remember it was, about six.
But so, my point is, if you're coming off like a good spell, does that change your mind?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And this goes into Liverpool.
Where Milan is now, I think if we got into Europa League this year, like barely got into it, I think we should try to do well in the tournament. I mean, the big thing now is, you know, we haven't been able to attract a lot of the big names because we're out of Europe altogether.
Yeah.
And I think even if we weren't in Champs League, even if we were in Europa League, just being able to say I'm in an international European competition makes a difference.
It does. And I think saying that, I mean, and people have something to work towards. Like it's a tournament. Yes. You get to show, even if you lose the league, which is a completely different animal.
And the other thing too is like as one of the bigger team or historically bigger teams, you would expect them to go farther in that tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if you played your starters and you got out in the first, you know, knockouts, the first group stage,
Liverpool has been drawing.
It'd be bad. Like that would look terrible. But at the same time, you know, I want to see Milan do well. And even if we didn't win Europa League, even if we got to the quarters and the semis, you know, at least we can say we went somewhere in that tournament.
Yeah. And you can say Europe. We don't have to say what part of Europe.
Sure. Yeah. Europe. Absolutely.
And honestly, I want to stick to Europa League, but just a quick thing. I mean, this relates also to other smaller cups. Like you think Arsenal winning the Community Shield. Realistically, you know, if this was Man U a couple years ago, like they would give a shit about a Community Shield.
Yeah.
But for Arsenal, Mourinho
threw his second place.
Yeah, he just threw it. Yeah. And so you look at the teams that really are used to winning, and it's just not the same. So I would actually say,
at the end of the day, a cup is a cup, though. You know, for me to say, okay,
it isn't.
Yes, and well, for me to say I got a double, or to say I got any silverware versus I got no silverware is better.
It feels like that, and then it doesn't. Like if we say for Arsenal. If we won Club World Cup, that was the only thing we won this year, that'd be a disappointment. I mean, a little caveat because we obviously have good players right now, so we should be doing better, but you still don't feel like a cup is a cup. I think it's all managing expectations.
As someone who hasn't won a cup in a long time, Sean.
It does. No. And I understand that because that is a boost. But I don't think a cup is always a cup. And I think if a big player gets injured...
Well, for those of us who win seven damn cups a year, yeah. I guess a little cup doesn't really make
a
damn difference.
I'm honestly, like, even forgetting that, I think, it's one of those things, if you're down, it definitely helps a lot.
I'm going to discount what you have to say because you're used to winning a ton of titles. What do you think, Dave?
I don't know. I'm kind of in the middle. I think you do need to find a balance. And I think most of the better teams, I mean, you're in cups, like you can find a balance. Mm-hmm. So, and actually this is kind of weird, but when I play FIFA Manager, they're tired. Like, because when you have cup games,
you're playing midweek. Yeah.
And if you go to play the next game, they're, you know, they don't have as much energy. And that's true in real life. I mean, if you're playing Chelsea on the weekend and you're playing, you know, another team in the league, you play them for both games, they're not going to be, you know, have as much energy for that.
Well,
that
look at game. Well. Let me ask you. Okay, so I'm going to bring you back in the conversation, Sean, and actually ask you. Clearly, you guys, you were playing, you know, 100 plus games in a season, right? When you win five trophies, so do all your starters play most of those games?
This was a huge thing last year. At the beginning of the year, our coach rotated a lot, and people kind of made fun of him and questioned him because we had some bad results and people were wondering, why aren't these guys starting? Madrid was the exact opposite. Ancelotti started all the best players every single game.
Right.
If you watch the second Clasico, Madrid, no question. The last 30 minutes, they were tired and they were dead. And this is what a lot of people contribute to their failure at the end of the year and our success. We rotated. Second half was brilliant. Mm-hmm. There were other things happening too, but like Messi turned it on. Everybody turned it on and we did really well. Madrid did not do as well. And this is the tough thing though. Rotations are tough because you get losses. You get draws right. when you need to get wins. But I guess the second half of the season.
Come the
more
end
important.
Of the season, right? You don't have guys who are dead tired.
Yeah, and that's huge. And I think one other thing related to that with tiredness, like, say, okay, if you're challenging in Europa League, and no offense, but you're probably not like the title contender or the favorite for the title in your league. If you're fighting for Europa, you're probably not the best there. But if you know you can't win the league, let's say it's a foregone conclusion, you can't win the league, but you think you can win the Europa League. Would you go for that win in Europa League versus getting like fourth place in the league? Because then think about it, that's Champs League.
Yes.
Depending on your league.
That's the big trade-off.
So that's...
I don't have to win the league.
Would you want to win Europa?
In Italy's
actually, wait,
case.
If you win Europa, do you get into Champs League?
Yes,
you do, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So that's how Seville got in. Yeah.
The thing is like most teams like Barcelona, Man U, Chelsea, City, Madrid, even Roma, Inter, whatever teams are in the
Milan.
Cups. Every team, yeah. You can do basically this and be fine. You know, one game start Sergio Roberto or like Rafinha and then sub them off. And then the next game start the other person and then put them back. So, I mean, these teams are stacked where you can just like put in
Milan right now has a fairly deep roster. Like we have a decent amount of top
but
players.
Like today, Liverpool was playing their B squad and they had a guy Lassiter in as a midfielder starting, and I'm like, why is this guy in there? I mean, like they had guys on the bench who don't even play in their A squad that could have been in there instead. So maybe they're trying to give them like young guys experience, but Liverpool should not be doing this.
Yeah, I mean, but the funny thing is, you think. Even if Liverpool had their entire second string versus FC Sion, I don't know.
Well, maybe that's what they were thinking.
So this is the trade-off. Yeah. This is the trade-off is when you play some of your B string and they don't even get a result in Europa.
Right. And then they're subbing guys on to try to like... That's the thing. So I think, I mean, and you think about it too, like how much does it affect the players if they play two games in a row? Like if Hazard started today, would he really be tired this weekend?
I mean, they're in tip-top
shape.
And
if you ask him that, what is he going to say? So, you know, I think they could have started Hazard... See how they're going. See how it's going. If it's drawing, if it's a 0-0 draw, 1-1 draw, or if they take a lead or something, then you can kind of sub guys off and sub guys on. But I think there is a way to do it. Just some of these teams just don't. I mean, they must have other ideas because some of them you're just like, why the hell do they have this squad out there?
So I think that's as good as place any. That is a good place to end it. That'll do it for this week. Check us out every week. We're Kiss the Crest. You can find us on iTunes. So if you can, please rate and subscribe to us. You can also find out other great podcasts at thecommentist.com. You can also find this podcast there, but we have other podcasts, ones about tech, veganism, D&D, just whatever you're interested in. We've probably got it. So that'll do it for this week. Hope to see you next week.
Thanks.